my privilege to be here, and a very solemn end to a first part of the meeting. I hope I don't take away from that by thanking you all for being here. And I also want to add my thanks to that delicious meal. It was very nice. I have actually three honors. My name is Paul Barnhart, and I have three honors. One, to be going around the country and a little bit beyond to preach the gospel. It's a great honor. The second one, we have something in common from what I understand. This is his first series in this building, and it's also my first series in this building. But it's a great honor to share a gospel series with a brother who's been laboring in the gospel as a missionary for many, many years. Third honor tonight is that I'm not just here to speak the gospel, but I was asked to say a little bit about what's going to happen behind us. I was looking at that nice, trendy paneling, and I was thinking, wow. But it's not just up there for the aesthetics. If you can see, there's a pool of water down here, and it's not just tepid, it's warm. It's very warm. So I was asked to speak a little bit about what's going to be happening here for a few minutes. So there are my three honors, and I want to do this in just a few minutes. If we can go, there's four places I would like to read with you. The first one being in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to explain. You've already heard the gospel, and I'm going to speak a little bit about it too, but I want to use, some people call him St. Paul, the Apostle Paul. He spoke about these two events too, the gospel and baptism. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is Paul's declaration of the gospel. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory, or if you remember what I spoke when I was there, unless you had believed in vain. Now, I'm just going to say right now, it's possible to do that. I did that. I had listened to the words. I had listened to the gospel. I was like one he had talked about. I heard, I knew the message, but I had never believed it for myself. It's been happening for generations. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So this is the gospel. This is the good news from God. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above or beyond 500 people at once, and so on. So here is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been prophesied and promised. He did come, and he didn't just come to live a holy life, which he did do. He lived a perfect life, a holy life. But then he died for our sins, just as it had been prophesied and as that had been promised. But he didn't just die. He was buried, but he didn't stay buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. It was all according to God's great plan of grace for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was from heaven, but he chose to come into this world, to give his life, to suffer for sins, to be buried, to rise again the third day, never to die again, never to suffer this way again, never to have to pay for sins again. And he lives and is able to save the youngest and the oldest here. And actually, people who aren't here, people who didn't come to the meeting tonight. This is a message for all, whether they appreciate it, whether they ever receive it. There's an opportunity for the world tonight based on the work of one man, the work of one man. That's the gospel message. So I want you to remember that as we turn to 1 Corinthians, the beginning of this book that Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 16. We're going to get Paul's just in the middle of a conversation almost. And he says, "And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, I just want you to go back. That was wordy, perhaps, for some of the young. But I want you to see what Paul says in verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So the one who came, suffered for sins, died, was buried, rose again, wants people in every generation to come into the blessing of knowing him as Savior. So he has sent people into the world to preach the gospel. There's been a long line of men between this Paul and this Paul. And it's a great privilege, it's a great honor for me to be here. But I want you to see it's clear. There's a difference between preaching the gospel and baptizing people. It's very clear, very different. Two distinct things. Salvation is from the Lord. And salvation comes from, as we'll read just through this text a little bit, we'll see it is a spiritual work of God through Christ's work on the cross. It's not the work of man. Someone's going to be baptized here in a few minutes, God willing. And it's going to be the work of man. And we're glad about that because when the person puts the person down into the water, he will need to have a little bit of effort to bring the person back up out of the water. It's definitely a work of man. Two distinct things. Salvation doesn't come from baptism. And baptism doesn't lead to salvation. So we see this. Christ sent me not to baptize. There's just four things I want to pull from this passage. It is not words, but a message. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." What does that mean? Paul doesn't want words to get in the way of the message. There's a message to you tonight from God, and my brother and I don't want to get in the way of that. Do I have a Jersey accent? I hope that doesn't keep you from understanding the message that God has for you tonight. I don't really think I have an accent. But there's a message, and you know the message. We read the message. Christ Jesus. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There's truth there. That is truth. There's light for your soul. Don't let any words. When I was young, I believed words. I listened to words, and God willing, if the meetings continue, at some point I'll tell how I was saved. But before I was saved, before I knew I was ready for heaven, I trusted in words that I said. And I would just repeat a prayer. I prayed. I went to church services similar to this. I tried to be good. At some point when I got older, I even got baptized. And then after that, I became a member of a large church. And I did all of that, and I was never saved. If I had died, I wouldn't be in heaven because I never got the message. I never believed the message. Don't miss the message for the words. That's the first point. Paul didn't want that to happen. The message is Christ and what he did on the cross for sinners. The second thing, it is not salvation. It is not what I think is good or right or true, but the message is the cross of Christ. Paul's talking here about people thinking the message is foolishness, and some people may say, well, that's a good message for you. It's not us to say how we should get in God's heaven. It's God's heaven. We don't tell God, well, I know how I can get into your heaven, or I think I'm going to be fine. God lets us know. He has opened the door. There is one door to heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the door. Anybody here want to be in heaven? There is a way. There's an open door, and it's the man who died for sins, who was buried, who rose again the third day, and he lives to save. He lives to save. So it's not our choice. Third thing, it is not the ideas of men, but it's the power of God. Paul says this in verse 18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Salvation is the power of God. It's the work of God. It's not the work of man. So as I was saying, just reflecting on myself, it's not, can someone be saved? Pouring out and calling out to God, absolutely. Can someone be saved while they're singing? If they come to Christ, absolutely. That happened to my sister. Can someone be saved when they're walking down the street? Or can they be saved when they're sitting in a meeting like this? Thank God, absolutely, they can be. There are many ways to Christ, but there's only one way to God, and it's through Christ. You need to get to Christ if you want to be in heaven, if you want to be saved. It's not our ideas. It's always going to be the power of God that saves a sinner. The fourth thing, it's not entertainment. The gospel message, these meetings, but it's truth that saves. People would listen to the message and find it almost like a joke, or almost like it's just something to listen to, something to entertain us for a night. He says, we read it at the very end of this passage, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Wonderful to think that listening to a gospel message, a person can receive truth from God and experience for themselves, know the saving power of God, and walk out a set of doors saved. Save. That could be your experience tonight if you've never experienced it before. It's the power of God, and it's truth that saves. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in chapter 15 that we read, he used those words, by which ye are saved. You can know that you're saved. You can know that you're ready for heaven. Baptism doesn't do that. God does that through his power, through his Son. For by grace are we saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that's salvation. Just for the next 5 or 6 minutes, I want to talk a little bit. Well, if that's the difference between what salvation is, what is baptism? Turn my paper over. Actually, I got to turn it over this way. Two places I want to read with you. The first being in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. What is baptism? I hope we just had a little bit of thoughts about what salvation is and isn't. And now, what is baptism? If it doesn't save us, Matthew 28, we'll just talk a little bit about baptism. Before a young man named Clayton. Goes into the warm waters. Matthew 28. Why is he doing this? Why is Clayton doing this? Not because anybody here wanted him to do this. It's very touching. Every time someone gets baptized, they're doing it for one person, for a living man. This man in verse 18. Matthew 28. Actually, we can start at 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountains where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. What is baptism? It's the Lord's plan. It wasn't the apostles' idea. It's not a church's idea. It's not my idea. It's not parents' idea. It's not the elders here's idea. It's the Lord's plan that people would have the opportunity to obey the one that saved him. It's in the heart of every true believer when they realize, a man who loved me and died for me and gave his life for me. Is there anything I can do for him? There is one thing immediately that a soul can do and thank him. Say, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But then he gives us opportunity to other things. And for all of us, there's an opportunity to obey this simple command. Is it easy getting up here in front of all these people and essentially going underwater? No, it's not easy, but it's simple. It's a simple command, but sometimes it goes against our pride, any number of things. It's a simple command. It's not easy, and the Lord knows this. It's an expression of a converted heart that says it's not something easy, but I want to do this for my Lord and for my Savior who loves me. And it's an opportunity to show your obedience to this man. This was a command given 2,000 years ago, and it's remarkable. All over the world, for thousands of years, people have understood the words of a man who's in heaven. And they said, I'm going to do this. Is that not a testimony to the veracity, to the truth of Christianity? But it's the Lord's plan. It's the step of obedience, which I just covered. It's not the end of a spiritual journey. This is just the beginning. Some people say, I got baptized, that's it. No, that's just the beginning of a life of obedience, however long the Lord gives you to live. Obedience is just the first step. It's not the end. It's not your ticket. It wasn't your ticket into heaven to begin with. Salvation is just the first step of a life of obedience for someone to use their life for the man who saved them. It's just the beginning of the journey. May God give you a long and good journey. We read here, it's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, there are people that have come here tonight because they're interested in this young man. It's my privilege. We've suddenly become friends, even though I never knew you before. But he's been in the heart of God. There's divine interest in this meeting tonight. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have a great interest in this man and his life and what he can do for the Lord. And it's true for everyone here. You think, are you looking for purpose in your life? Are you looking for some value in yourself, as many people are? There are divine persons who love you and have great purpose for you. And it comes down to what you will do with God's Son. God's Son means everything to him, everything to heaven. He's the center of all of God's future plans. He's the center of eternity. And you can come in to know him and know your purpose and know the love and grace and glory of divine persons. Divine persons have an interest in this. The last point here. It's not clear in our English, but the word when the Lord Jesus Christ says, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them. He's saying, immerse them in water. Why do we go through the trouble of building a building with a big green tank in it? Wouldn't it be easier just to do something some other way? The Lord Jesus Christ's words 2,000 years ago were, immerse them. So I'm thankful here that things are being practiced, not according to our own ideas, but it's right out of the scriptures probably that you have in your lap. There's an illustration of all of this happening in Acts chapter 8. I would encourage you to read that on your own. I don't want to take the time now as the time is just coming to the end. Acts chapter 8 has a picture, a story of what you're going to see here happening by another evangelist in Gaza. Good news from Gaza. We hear a lot of bad news from Gaza. The Bible has a good story from Gaza, but we see there two men going down into the water, one man doing all the work, the other man coming up, and it's a picture of what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. What happened, what our Lord did, he gave his life, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and he lives eternally. Those that come to Christ realize, my sins are gone, that person is dead, And baptism is just a picture, an opportunity for us to obey, to show everyone here, to know in our own hearts a bit of obedience, to express some thanks and obedience to divine persons. It's just showing, I died with Christ, that one who died for me on the cross. I died with him. My sins are gone. That old person is buried. And now I'm coming up and I'm walking in the power of a resurrected Savior. Not my power, but his power. The one who really died. The one who suffered for sins and was buried. We live, Christians live in a power, divine power. We couldn't live this life. We couldn't do it on our own. And that's not, our own works would never endure us through this life or send us into heaven. It's a miraculous spiritual work of God. And baptism is just a picture. It's an opportunity for those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, opportunity to show that, to declare it without words. The gospel message is a wonderful message, whether it's spoken audibly or shown pictorially. And it comes at the cost of our brother and another to go in the water. We're glad you're here. We trust that you have any questions, you're free to ask us or come to any of the meetings following as the Lord wills in the next couple weeks. And we, I think I'm just supposed to close in prayer and give out a hymn, and then we'll have the baptism. Thanks for listening tonight, and we'll pray real quick. Our God in heaven.